As you load up the car for your summer holidays, you may be tempted to upload some apps on your smartphone or tablet computer to keep the kids amused on the long drive. But beware, there can be exorbitant costs hidden behind the most benign-looking free apps or cheap apps. Many customers have been shocked to find their kids have unwittingly racked up huge bills on their credit cards attached to their iTunes accounts. Dr. Joanne Orlando from the University of Western Sydney specialises in technology and learning. She has some tips on what to look for in an educational app and how to supervise youngsters. We'll hear more from her shortly, but welcome, Joanne.
Thank you.
But first, let's hear from Stuart. He's a father in Sydney who learnt an expensive lesson after his 8-year-old daughter downloaded a supposedly free game. Hello, Stuart.
Hi there, Richard.
I think she's 8, your daughter.
Yes, she is.
How often would she play this sort of computer game?
Well, not so often. You know, we're fairly, we try to be strict around computers and TVs, but of course it's not always easy. But on that particular weekend, she was playing at it and we were busy. My wife and I were doing stuff around the house and I thought, oh, you know, what can it hurt?
Mm.
And she had a little game that was a free app, and it had to build a village. It's called Tiny Village and Tiny Pets and Tiny Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And it was asking her to expand the game.
But don't you need a password for that kind of thing?
Well, yes, you do. And so she would bring the iPad to me and say, oh, Daddy, you can put the password in. And it was like the stage after it said how much it would cost. And, of course, I should have been more diligent, but, you know, I was running around and doing things and I just put in. So it's a free app, and I'm thinking, oh, it's a dollar. It's $2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's no big deal. And so she was playing for maybe, you know, that weekend. And then on the Monday morning, I just happened to check my credit card for some other reason.
Online. Because, I mean, most of us, I mean, I certainly don't. It's only when it comes in at the end, at the month that I have a look at it.
No, exactly. Yeah, no. And I, it was just one of those things I just happened to, and I got the shock of my life.
How much?
$711.
Oh, jeez.
I know. So I try not to get angry at her because she doesn't know the difference between $10 and $700, when she's looking at it on a screen like that. And anyway, so
so did the game essentially prompt her to pay more?
Yeah, this was the thing that I thought was a bit insidious, that it said, expand your world, expand the village, and with a truckload of acorns or a truckload of coins or whatever it was. And the bills for each one that I said hello to, one was $109, $109, $130.
Wow.
The ridiculous amounts of money for a little free app.
So she didn't realise it was that much money? Or
no, she hadn't. No, she didn't.
Right. So you got this bill, $711, I think you said.
Yeah.
Did you pay it?
Oh, I got onto iTunes immediately and said that, this is ridiculous. And to their credit, they were very good. They were completely on it and refunded the money. Not Tinyco, but iTunes.
Right.
So I was very impressed that I think they must have had a standard email response because it was superbly edited piece of writing.
Did you get the feeling that you weren't the first person to complain?
I got that feeling. Yeah.
Yes. What did you say to your daughter?
Oh, I said, darling, we've had to have a little bit of a chat about technology.
Were you shouty? I think I would have used my outdoors voice at that point.
Yeah, I think I might have had a bit of the outdoors in me.
Yeah,
I was more angry at myself, but particularly angry at Tiny Tunes. It's ridiculous asking a child for $130 to upgrade a silly little game, not silly little game, but a game that she's playing just by herself in the lounge room.
And so, how is it going to affect how you let her play with this sort of thing in the future?
Oh, she's still going to want to play these things, and particularly for travelling and things, that they're fantastic. It's really about the parent has to be more on the ball, and I can't just obviously just tap my password in willy nilly and expect her to be accountable for it.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things with the password too is that once you've tapped it in for a certain amount of time, you don't have to tap it in again if you want to do. I notice this if I'm buying music. So once you've tapped it in to download one track, if you, within a few minutes want to download another one. It doesn't ask for the password again.
I think that's correct, yeah. I mean, in one sense, that's convenient because you don't want to keep on tapping your password, and if you want to have a bunch of songs from some heavy metal band, but in this case, it was it could have been horrible.
Yes, it was pretty horrible, I think. Thanks for that, Stuart.
Pleasure.
Cautionary tale there from Stuart. He's a father in Sydney. If you've just joined us, Stuart's just told us the story of his daughter, who's 8, free game on the tablet computer. Him and his wife are busy around the house. She's playing it, and the game has kept asking her if she wants to expand or buy the next level. And she has not realised how much doing this will cost. It's ended up costing $711. Stuart got in touch with iTunes and didn't have to pay. But still, he's learned a lesson. I think his daughter has too. And, yeah, we'll explore what else we can say about this with because Dr. Joanne Orlando, who's at the University of Western Sydney, is a specialist in technology and learning. She's with me in the studio. How common is this kind of story, Joanne?
Well, I've heard this story over and over again, particularly with young children. Now, his daughter was 8. Mm. I've heard about it with parents that I know with children who are 12, 13. So teenagers are getting stuck with these sorts of ongoing costs in their use of any sort of mobiles, online things. It's a new challenge for parents today.
So who's at fault here? Is it Stuart? Is it the mother? We didn't hear anything about her. What about the child? What about the app developer?
Well, that's a good point. I'm not sure if it's anyone's fault, although we could say that this is a very large corporation that Stuart was dealing with. So building in these layering of costs is certainly something that's, you know, that they've done strategically to, you know, expand their empire. I think that the fact that iTunes have given the money back shows a certain responsibility on their behalf. Mm. One of the problems, I think, with online apps and things for children is that there doesn't seem to be any particular body guiding what the content as well as how it's organised and processed online. So children can get stuck, parents can get stuck, educational institutions can get stuck because the rules keep changing. There's no firm boundaries around it.
Now, essentially, there are, as I understand it, there may be more than this. There's really kind of two lots of apps for portable devices. There's the Android apps,
yes,
which are a kind of open source thing, and they're growing very quickly. But Apple are the market leader. I think the 1 millionth app has recently been released. Do you think that parents are just thinking, well, if Apple are selling this app or making it available through their system, it's okay?
I think that Apple do have that reputation in terms of it being good quality. Mm. But from what we're seeing in the apps, you know, you've said 1 millionth, and that's over a very, very short period of time.
It is. It's all happened about 3.5, 4.5 years, something like that?
Maximum, I think, yes. And I think one of the things we need to ask now is if apps are developing at such a rapid rate, who is actually developing these apps and for what purpose? So when you're looking for apps for a child or for any sort of educational purpose, you actually need to go to the source to see who has developed that app. Is it just a commercial company? Is it an educational company? You know, you need to sort of do your research a little bit.
Okay, so a bit of due diligence on the parents'
That's right.
part. What else, if you're looking for, it occurs to me though that this is the kind of app that the girl has probably heard about in some way, possibly through friends and school and stuff like that. She's found it. She's come to Dad. Can I have this? It doesn't cost anything. I think the children, certainly in my house, the kids are the ones who tell us about the things.
Yes.
And I suspect it is the way of the world. If you want to kind of preempt that to some extent and look for apps for kids, what should you be looking for?
Well, it depends what age group, but I think there are particular characteristics that probably run through all ages. One is, what is the content the child is actually working with? Even for young children, and particularly for children around the 10, 11 mark, the content of some apps can get quite adult in terms of violence and other sort of adult themes. So we need to firstly check the content. Secondly, if it's an educational app and you want to actually help your child in terms of learning in using these apps, then you need to take an interest in seeing the sort of actual things that the child will be doing when they're actually engaging with their app. So if it's a maths thing and they're learning about, say, addition, is it just requiring them to put the correct answer in? Okay, well, that allows a certain amount of learning. Or is it actually allowing them to develop and create something and to use their knowledge and to solve problems? Is it allowing them to use their knowledge to apply it in a new situation. If that's the case, then fantastic, because then the statement can be said, oh, look what I made, look what I did. Mm. It's much more satisfying and it's much more educational rather than just filling in the correct answer.
Right, so encouraging some creativity and problem solving.
Absolutely, and it could be across the board. It can be in art, and that's what we often tend to think of in terms of creative, but across any sort of learning content.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Dr. Joanne Orlando. She's a specialist in technology and learning at the University of Western Sydney. She's with me in the studio. Earlier we heard from Stuart, who's a Sydney father, who found out the hard way that it pays to pay close attention to what your child's doing on the iPad or the tablet or whatever. Even if it's a free game, it may end up costing you. Can I just ask about that? Because, look, as a parent, I've certainly done it. We've both done it at our place. Sometimes you're trying to do something else. Sometimes you just think, gee, I wouldn't mind half an hour with the paper. And the kids are bored and they say, can I go on this? And, you know, you let them sometimes. And also now, because there's these devices available and you can have them in the car, if you're going anywhere over the summer, rather than the constant whining, you can just give them the tablet computer or the phone or the iPod, and they'll be quiet. I mean, you can see why parents do this, can't you?
I've got three children myself, so I can see that. A marketing company in the US were looking at mobile devices, and they tagged them as the greatest, newest babysitter that's available in the market. So I think parents are, and there is, you know, it's very easy. We can use these sorts of devices to keep children quiet. And there are times when children need to be quiet in all sorts of social circumstances. But I think the problem is if we keep giving them to children to keep them quiet, if it keeps happening over and over again. So if the child knows every time that mum gives me the iPad, I have to be quiet. So that message of you're not needed, you're not important, keep quiet, keep out of the way, if it keeps coming, doesn't matter if it's coming via technology or anything else, it's still a very important negative message for children.
The thing is, though, and you'll know this better than me, but surely there's no escaping this technology. There's some research in the US that shows that 60% of youngsters aged 6 months to two have played with an iPhone or an iPad. And another, I think, local study here shows that more kids who are aged 2 to 5 can play a computer game than tie their laces or ride a bike.
I know, they're incredible stats, aren't they?
They are.
But they're very reflective of our current society. So I think it's very difficult to say that young children or children shouldn't go near technology until they're 13, or they shouldn't go near technology until they start school and they're 5. It's very hard to separate children from such a daily, well-used resource in society. But I think an important thing for parents, teachers, anyone working with children in terms of these devices is that, one, they can actually give the children messages socially that they are not needed if they're overused. And two, they're not the answer to every learning issue that a child may be dealing with. So just putting up a maths app on addition and saying, here you go, you know, that's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
It's about the parent or the adult working with the child and that app.
All right. Two questions to you, and then we have to wrap this up. One is, how young is too young? When should you say, well, they clearly shouldn't be playing with something? And then second, as a mother of three, how do you negotiate this and what do you try and teach your kids?
Okay. So how young is too young? I see lots of babies playing with mobiles in prams. You know, it's quite a common occurrence. You know, these mobiles are fantastic, the light and colour. It's a perfect toy for babies. So I think that it's up to the parents' discretion as to whether they would allow a baby to use something like that. But it's the overuse that I think is the issue. In terms of children owning their own laptop or owning their own iPod or something like that, once again, it's up to the parents' discretion. But I certainly don't think that a child on their first birthday needs to get that sort of thing as a present. I've got three children in high school and in primary school, and they are tech mad. And it's very difficult as a parent in a home to get the children off the technology to engage socially. You know, you can get into this after school thing of the children are on the computers and everything else.
Homework first.
That's right. I think it's about putting in boundaries, a certain amount of time is allowed on the technology, putting priorities in place, being quite consistent in your boundaries as well.
Joanne, good common sense stuff, I think, and good to get it from you, who's done the research as well as being the mum. That's Dr. Joanne Orlando. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Joanne's from the University of Western Sydney, where she specialises in technology and learning. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. Your letters and calls are coming up. But next, what is it really like to go to war?